to me. I don't know why he cared. I don't know why.
You stand out of respect for the Word of God and turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Verses 5 through 8, How to Do Good Deeds, Part 4, The Just Jesus Evangelistic Campaign, Day 363, since January the 20th, 2017, Day 730, since January the 1st, 2016, and the preaching goes on and on. Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 8. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily, truly, I say unto you, they have their reward. I told some people earlier today, do not think that you are, whatever work you do today, do not think you're doing it for man or for some other human being. Understand that what you do, you better be doing it for the glory of God and for the lifting up of Jesus Christ. Or quite frankly, it'd be better for you not to do it. I said that just this morning, and I've said it hundreds of times in the past. Maybe thousands, I don't know. Because if you're doing it for any other reason, you have your reward. Whatever that is. Verse 6, But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for helping us in the previous two services today. We pray that you would help us once again. And not only are we amazed at your ever-giving love, we are amazed at your ever-giving strength to do your will and to do your work, particularly in making the gospel plain and proclaiming the gospel and preaching your holy word. The strength that you provide is out of this world, and we thank you for it. And we pray that you would continue to give it to us. Have mercy and grace upon such wretched people as we are. And for Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive us of our sins, our failures, and our faults. Crucify our flesh and the old man within us afresh and anew, lest we rest upon our laurels, so to speak. And just because the previous three meetings have gone really so well, that this one will automatically be the same, and we understand that may not be the case, because there may be some fault found in us. The devil will kick up his heels, or somebody may quench or grieve your spirit. And we pray that none of those things would happen. Help us to remember your holy word that says, it is not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Bless and anoint the preaching of your holy word. And we pray that your holy name would be glorified, Jesus Christ would be exalted, and lost souls would be saved, Christians would be revived and encouraged and instructed. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, in this passage, Jesus moves on from the good practice of charitable giving to the good practice of faithful prayer. As we saw last week, Jesus expects his people to pray. He said, when thou prayest. As you might recall, he said, when thou fastest. He expects us to do these things as children of God. There are certain things that you find the time to do each day or each week simply because you have determined that they are things that cannot go undone. And yes, in the Christian life, I say to those who think they're just going to be swept into doing things for God, you're going to end up shipwrecked. God did not make you get saved. God did not make you do anything, and he does not make you do anything now. He will lead you. He will guide you. He will encourage you. He will exhort you. He will give you the power to do it. But you, your will as you grow older in Christ is still in play. And if you are going to pray faithfully without ceasing, you will do so because you've made up your mind to do so. God will remind you. God will prompt you. God will lead you. God will empower you, but he is not going to make you pray. In fact, that's one of the reasons why most people do not pray, is because they don't make up their minds to pray. And by the way, like Daniel, if you don't make up your mind to pray three times a day, you probably won't pray. And if you don't pray three times a day, at three set times a day, you're not going to pray without ceasing. You don't even have the foundation of the day set for you to do that. And more than likely, if you don't have a family devotional or some kind of devotional as a single person in the morning, you're not going to pray regularly and faithfully throughout the day. It's just not going to happen. You must make prayer one of those things that you just make up your mind to do. I don't care how dry it may seem, and you will have some desert moments, I'm sorry, you will. It makes no difference whether you're Baptist or Pentecostal, holiness, swinging from the chandeliers and running around the church. Prayer is the most difficult work on earth, but the most joy-filled work on earth. I cannot explain it, but it is. And you have to overcome what I call prayer inertia to get on praying ground. You must also deal with your sins, confess your sins, and repent to get on praying ground, because you know God does not want to hear from you if you got sin in your life as a child of God. Amen, somebody. Now, Jesus rebukes one of the wrong ways to go about the business of prayer. He says, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. More than likely, a person who loves to pray in front of other people does not pray in the closet at all, I assure you. The Greek word translated as hypocrite means an actor or a stage player or one who wears a mask. By the way, when that humble woman or that humble man in the church is called on to pray, you will know instantaneously whether or not they pray at home. Can somebody say amen? Can somebody say amen? In the back. You can tell instantaneously if you have a discerning spirit or the gift of discernment whether or not they pray at home. And that's what some pastors ought to do. I'm having a flashback to a meeting I had this past week. A pastor told me some interesting facts and interesting experiences that I wish I had the time to share a few things with you about it. But regarding this thing, some pastors need to get back to just randomly picking people to come up and close out the service in prayer. We used to do that back in the day. Everything is so programmed today like it's a Disney production. We dare not pick somebody to get up. We don't know what they're going to say. But you'll find out real quick who prays at home. May God deliver us from all of these people who want to pray and pray and pray in tongues and pray this way and that way and want to say some of everything and be praying directly to people and all kinds of things like that, but they don't pray in the closet. They don't pray for the pastor at home. They don't pray for anybody else at home. They don't pray for themselves at home. But yet they want to pray in front of other people, wearing a mask. The mask called the prayer mask. You take off the prayer mask when you go home. But when you go to church, all of a sudden you're a Mr. Prayer or Miss Prayer, and you got your prayers all laid out. And you might be even famous among the undiscerning because you pray great. Now, here's another thing to know, for you to know, that the person is really not a real prayer, that he's just a real player. When folks compliment you on your prayers, you have not prayed to God. I don't know what you did. Deacon Stevens, I tell you, that was such a powerful prayer. I felt it. What? Your prayer was so special to me. What? You should not even hear that man pray. You should be praying yourself. Up there judging people's prayers. I like the way Deacon Stevens prays. I tell you, he can really pray. Now, Deacon Stevens, let me tell you something. If people are saying that about you and you're known to be a great prayer, your prayers probably didn't even hit the ceiling. It just hit these easily bamboozled people. In the Greek culture of this day, when actors put on a play, they would wear oversized masks. Every now and then you'll see these in textbooks or in other places in culture. These masks were designed to show the audience the emotions of the character being portrayed. The sad mask, the happy mask, the middle distance mask, and so forth. Therefore, a hypocrite is one who wears a metaphorical mask in order to have some kind of effect on others. And may I say something to you? One of the reasons why you would want to go up in the rapture as soon as possible, and you're praying, "Soon come, Lord Jesus," because we are surrounded by, in our society, in every institution, black and white, red and yellow, a bunch of folks who are wearing a mask. A bunch of actors playing a part. Shakespeare was right, that life is but a stage and you're just actors on it. It begins and it ends. You enter and you exit. Seriously, folks, I don't know why you get so caught up in politics. is all a bunch of acting and lying and covering up and bull. That's all it is. It's all it's always been. And it has infiltrated the church. Thank God, not the true church of the Lord Jesus Christ, but so much that's happening today is people pulling the wool over simpletons' minds and hearts and eyes, wearing a facade, wearing a mask, covering up, playing a game, not being real. Don't you get tickled when people have to tell folks, hey, you just need to be you? Boy, I tell you, that's something. Just be you. Isn't that sad? Folks going to experts on how to act and what I should do and what I should say, and they tell them, just be you. Hillary Clinton went through all kinds of coaches and advisors trying to find out how to appear before the people, and all of the commentators were saying, she's not authentic, she's not real, she just needs to be. See, that's the Hillary. See, right there, that little bit right there, that's the real Hillary. Will the real somebody please stand up? Will if you are a human being and you're acting like something else, please be real. Will the real you please stand up? You hypocrite. You phony and you fake. You liar. You're living a lie, trying to deceive people, acting spiritual around certain people, but a devil at home. Are you kidding me? Only time you pray is on Sunday mornings, and that barely, but you never pray the rest of the week until there's a crisis. Husbands faking, wives faking, children, the whole family faking. Stop faking and tell the truth. The Brady Bunch family at church, the Adams family at home. Who are you kidding? Take off that mask. Take off all of that stuff that's hiding the real, stinking, putrefying, decaying, wicked you. And get real by confessing your sins, getting your heart right with God and repenting, and coming to God with the right heart, spirit, and attitude. Stop playing and start praying. Because while you're faking and while you're wearing a mask, your family is crumbling down to the ground. And so is the ministry and the church. And by the way, people have your number. I tried to tell you this a long time ago. You can't fool church people. You can't fool Christian people. Christian people can tell when you're lying. They just won't tell you. Some of them are so nice, they just won't tell you to your face. Stop trying to fool people. Stop trying to pull the wool over folks' eyes. Stop trying to bamboozle people before you run amok. Be real. Be you. And God is exposing many, many people today. And by the way, I love, make no mistake about it, I love a great movie. But I thought about this the other day, and many actors get paid well and get many accolades. But I asked myself, I said, self, even though you love movies, do you really want to be, would you really want to be an actor? A person who makes his living, watch this, being somebody else. And of course, I answered to myself, no, I would not. I would not want to be an actor where making my living is acting like somebody else. That's a very vain and empty profession. That's why we got, I believe, so much hell going on in Hollywood today. And I still say thank God for the talent that some of these people have. I disagree with many of them, But I thank God for the talent that God has given these people to do that. Be that as it may, as Christians, however, God does not want us to be actors or actresses. When the religious leaders of Jesus' day gave to the poor, they would do it flamboyantly and in public in order that they might be applauded. By men and by women, by the crowd, and therefore regarded as holy or good. When they fasted, they would not put oil on their faces, and they would go about with a sad countenance, with might as well just put a sign on top of the head, say, "Look at me, I'm going without eating, or at least I'm faking like I am. I'm hungry, and therefore I am sad and pitiful. I'm fasting. I'm trying to be spiritual. Look at me." It's disgusting. So that people would know that they were fasting and think very highly of them. In the same way with prayer, these religious hypocrites would stand on the street corners when they prayed for the exclusive purpose of having others see and hear them pray. In other words, they were putting on a show. They were acting. And have you noticed the people who don't pray at home, here's how they pray. "God forgive me." They say, "Great God, Jehovah, higher than every mountain, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the God of every living creature. Great God Almighty, you're wonderful," and on and on and on we go. I can't even fake these people. But they take you all around the world and they pray these long prayers, very eloquent, with no purpose, no aim. Dr. John R. Rice was right. Basically, because God does not need anything from us, basically, when you get down to where the rubber meets the road, prayer is asking and receiving, basically. We know that there are other forms of prayer, but when you get right down to it, I would advise you, when you come before God Almighty, who does not need anything from you, ask for something. Ask for some help. Ask for forgiveness. Ask for strength. God delights in hearing you ask for the things you need and the good things you desire. These prayers that have no point, these prayers that have a whole lot of flowery words that mean nothing and take us nowhere and get no answers are worthless. And so don't get caught up in the flowery language. You get with an old saint of God, I guarantee you they'll pray. When they pray for you, it'll be a hot minute and they'll be done with very simple words that pertains to the situation at hand. They want it to be seen as very spiritual in the eyes of the people. Jesus says these hypocrites loved to pray. They loved. See, that's another sign. These little eager beavers who want to pray. And these little eager beavers also who want to preach, don't let them pray. Don't let these little eager beavers preach and pray. They're gonna take up a whole lot of time, and it's not gonna mean a hill of beans. I do not trust anybody who talks about they love to pray. Prayer is warfare, my friend. There's nothing fun about it. Now, loving God, in the true sense of the word, and communicating with him, it's a different ballgame. But just loving prayer, no. I get tickled with these preachers who say they love to preach. No. You love preaching while you're preaching because of what God is doing in you and through you. And you are just as amazed as the people are when he brings stuff that's not on the paper to your mind that you have never even given thought to. You love that. And you love having preached. And you love the results of preaching. You don't love to preach, not if you're a real preacher. It's very difficult to preach. You might be gifted to preach. But all that it takes to get ready to preach, and all of the fighting of the devil, and all of the fighting of the flesh in the world, I guarantee you, I don't have to talk with every preacher, but I'll tell you, Saturdays are something for a preacher. Strange things happen. The devil fights you tooth and nail. And you feel kind of off sometimes, kind of, what in the world? You got to go through that every weekend. And this is why most preachers take off on Mondays, like I have done for years. I don't do it too much right now because I'm preaching every day. Then there are many preachers, many Southern Baptist preachers, they take off on Friday. I guess they get juiced up and ready to go for Sunday, take off on Friday. I take off on Monday. Because it's difficult to truly preach the Word of God. It's a battle. Ladies and gentlemen, it is not that they love prayer, but that they love being seen praying. And they think that they are special because they're up there praying. And that's not what it's about. They thought very highly of themselves, and being able to convince others to think highly of them fed their pride and ego. Unfortunately, there are people like this in the church today. Those who are eager to accept the invitation to pray before the sermon or to give the benediction, get envious and get jealous and may God help you if somebody comes up to you and tells you something crazy like, "Hey, Pastor, I got a real good prayer this morning. Let me close the service out in this real good prayer." You need to run away from that bad breath person right there real quick. Don't walk, run. Because he's got a grenade. He's getting ready to throw at somebody. You don't want to mess with him. Here's how you do it. "All right, brother, I hear you. But I think I'll pray myself." Amen. God bless you. When they get up in front of the church, they pray loud and long, but they never pray at home. They are not really interested in prayer. They are just interested in making people think they are spiritual. When you pray or carry out your spiritual duties, what are you really concerned about? A true prayer is concerned about getting a hold of God and God hearing his prayers, be it for him, his family, or for others. And he's concerned about getting an answer to prayer, results from God. Are you concerned about pleasing God or impressing men? Do you care only what God thinks, or do you desire to be seen with approval by others? You want that pat on the back by some ill-informed, uninformed brother or sister who says, "Oh, good prayer, brother. Good prayer. Please shut up. You don't know what you're talking about." Take heed to Jesus' command and resist the temptation to pray as the hypocrites do. Make sure that you are not praying to be heard by man or seen by man. Amen. Let's all stand. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for your holy word. We praise you and we thank you for hearing and answering our humble prayers. We thank you for the power of your Holy Spirit. We thank you for the clarity of thought and the clarity of the message. And we pray that you would open blinded eyes and unstop deaf ears. And we pray that you would save that soul or those souls nearest hell. And we pray that you would revive and encourage your Christian people. And we pray that you would convict your Christian people about being hypocrites, yielding to the temptation of being something in front of others that we're not before you in private. Have mercy and grace upon every soul under the sound of my voice, and forgive of sin anybody who's living their lives like that. Have your Holy Spirit not to give anybody under the sound of my voice rest until they're lining up with your Holy Scriptures as Christians, and until they come to know you as Savior as people who are not Christians. Help them to hear the gospel and be saved today. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. You may be seated as the music plays. Jesus is calling. Jesus will save you if you would trust him as Savior today. Dear friend, if you are with us today and you have never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior to save you from sin and the consequences of sin, which is hell, allow me to show you how you can put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ for salvation from sin and hell. First, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty, there is a punishment for sin. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." Third, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Hell is a sad place. Nobody is trying to scare you. Just this morning, to show you and to remind you how quickly you can be gone from this earth, how in the world can, in our high-tech nation, how can two trains hit head-on? At last count that I heard, two have died. Someone mentioned three. 70 have been injured. And if they did not know Jesus Christ, they are in hell right now from that train 2:30 this morning. If they did know Jesus Christ as Savior, they are in heaven. Glory be to God. And I'm hoping for the latter. Hell is an awful place. You say, "Preacher, I don't believe that." Well, the Bible also says in Revelation, in fact, the Bible tells you who will go to hell or to the lake of fire. That is Revelation 21:8. "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers," people who practice witchcraft and voodoo, "and idolaters and all people," that is all people who put anything or anybody before God, "and all liars." If God didn't get you on the idolatry, if God didn't get you on the whoremongering, if God did not get you on the sorcery, I believe he got everybody on the lying. "All liars," the Bible says, "shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Now you tell me why a human being would write something like that if it were not true, if they were not inspired by God. That's not human language. I don't know of any man who would consign himself to hell and be so specific about it. So nobody's trying to hurt your feelings. Nobody is trying to scare you. I'm just stating facts. I'm just doing my job that God called me to do some 40 years ago. It's to warn you of the wrath to come and to tell you the good news about Jesus Christ, who came and died on the cross for your sins, was buried and rose again. He came as, according to John the Baptist, the Lamb of God, who took away the sins of the world, including your sin and mine, all of your ugliness and all of mine, all of our whoremongering and whoredom, all of our lying and all of our dishonesty. Some of you are lying and being dishonest right now about your taxes. You can go to hell for that, cheating the government out of their money. And you can also go to jail. Don't go to jail and go to hell, people. Stop lying. Tell the truth. Stop hiding stuff. Practicing voodoo and witchcraft and sorcery and going to Mama Mia's house on the corner and got her looking to a crystal ball and looking at your hands funny and telling you lies. You got a long line in your hand. That means you're going to have a long life. But you got a dark spot in your hand. That means your life is going to be hellacious. A long, hellacious life. Practicing sorcery and voodoo instead of praying to God. A whole lot of folks suffered in the Bible for doing that. The Bible says in the Old Testament that witches ought not to live. They ought to die. Because they're tapping into satanic power and doing things they ought not instead of praying to the God of heaven. You don't want it. Some of you right now, you live by your little zodiac signs. Every morning you grab a newspaper, you go online. I've never even been to a zodiac sign or anything like that since I have been saved, since the advent of the internet. But I know it's there. I know it's there. And some of y'all go every morning religiously and see what somebody that don't even know you said about how your day is going to go. A little zodiac devilment, foolishness. You're going to hell doing that stuff. Because you're not trusting in God, the God who made everybody and everything. I have some good news for you, however. You don't have to go to hell. You say, preacher, I made those mistakes. Preacher, I sinned. Preacher, I went down to Mama Mia's house yesterday. Preacher, I lied on my taxes and it's already sent in. Preacher, I know it. I know that I'm wrong. That's all right. I got some good news for you. God knows all about your evil and your sin. Ask the woman at the well. Jesus knew all about her past. God knows all about your past. But here's the good news. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world. That includes you. I'm talking to the person who just came out of Mama Mia's house. Just came out of a dirty, dark hotel room, whoremongering and whoring around. You just lied about your taxes. I'm talking to you. The Word of God is speaking to you. These are the words of Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That world includes you. That whosoever, that word whosoever includes you, believeth in Him should not perish. Perish where? Perish in hell, but have everlasting life. And just believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe that He died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with Him. Pray and ask Him to come into your heart to save your soul today, and He will save you. Romans 10:9-13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And dear friend, if you believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is indeed the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world, that he shed his blood on the cross for your sins and mine, that he died and was buried and rose again on the third day. If you can believe that in your heart and pray and ask him to save you, call on his name to save you, I assure you that he will save you today, and salvation will come to your family, to your home, and you will never be the same. Follow me in prayer, phrase by phrase, believing in your heart and meaning it from your heart. Repeat after me. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have done wrong in your sight. Yes, Lord, I have lied before. Yes, Lord, I have stolen before. Yes, Lord, I have lusted after human beings and things. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of my sins that I have committed against you. As I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world, that he was buried, that he died, and that he was buried, and rose again on the third day. Lord Jesus, I call on your name. Lord Jesus, I call on you and I ask you to save my soul. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Help me to repent of my sins past and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Just now come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Just now, come to Jesus, come to Jesus, just now. He will save you, he will save you, he will save you, just now, Jesus will save you, Jesus will save you, just now. Ladies and gentlemen, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, that he died on the cross for your sins, was buried and rose again on the third day, if you believe that in your heart and you prayed and asked him to save you, congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. If you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, please email me at dw3@gospellightsociety.com or one of our other email addresses or Twitter accounts or wherever you might be hearing this message or viewing this message, and let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Dear friend, God loves you. We love you. And may God bless you. Real good is my prayer.
I don't know why Jesus loved me.